The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
The Nonprofit Voice is a premier radio program featuring nonprofits on Long Island every Saturday morning. For the past 6 years, we have learned about, been inspired by, and celebrated hundreds of nonprofits in our community. The Nonprofit Voice is produced by Marketing Works, the only full-service marketing and public relations firm that works almost exclusively with nonprofit agencies. We pride ourselves on our reputation in creating strategic marketing and public relations campaigns, successful virtual, hybrid, and live events, as well as powerful social media and digital campaigns. As the leaders in nonprofit marketing, no other agency understands the industry as we do, and we are committed to the success of each and every one of our clients. Marketing Works hopes you enjoy this week's featured nonprofit. Good morning, this is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is The Nonprofit Voice, and this is show number 498. We will be celebrating show number 500 right here on June 15th from 1 to 3 p.m. And what we're going to be doing is I'm going to be broadcasting live on a Thursday. I get prime time finally after 10 years. And I'm excited about it because a lot of the people that were on at the beginning that are still working 10 years ago and they're still on, it's going to be great because I'll have them on again. We'll talk about our experiences. And I've had quite a few people that have been invited to be on the air, and they're all coming, which is great. And they're leaders and CEOs from some of the biggest agencies. And right now I have Renee Flagler. She's the executive director of Girls Inc., and she was one of the first to RSVP to me and say, I want to be there. And she will be. Welcome, Renee.
Thank you so much for having me, Ron, as always. And yes, I will be there.
That's great. And I want you to be on. You'll be one of the guests that's going to get a little segment. Everybody's getting like 5 minutes to talk about their experience, how they enjoyed being with the Nonprofit Voice, if it helped them. And, you know, it has helped them because it's gotten the word out. Absolutely. And, you know, it's been hard for the agencies to pick up media attention. You know, when the media is just focused on certain people and that's it. So tell me about your experiences. How has it been at Girls Inc.? I mean, I interviewed some former Girls Inc. executive directors in the past, but you've been there longer than anybody has, it seems to me.
You just made me realize that. I have.
How do you like that?
It's been great. It has definitely been great. And I think I can definitely attribute the start of the momentum to our previous executive directors there, who got things going so that we were able to kind of take from where they left off and really continue to shoot towards the stars. And in the past six, almost 7 years since I've been in this role, we have really been able to accomplish a lot, be very innovative with programming, and just really grow. And with the help of things like nonprofit radio, we've been able to significantly grow our visibility. We still got a way to go, but we have come a long way.
Well, you know, you and I were on, well, you were on with me at the time, right after COVID, and we talked about it. Out of all the CEOs and executive directors and what they've been through, I mean, you come across, and you'll like this, I hope, but your personality is perfect for Girls Inc. You know, it's just you have to showcase yourself there like a cheerleader, it seems to me. Where at the other agencies, the CEOs, you know, they don't have to be like that. But for what you do, am I right there with the people follow your lead?
I think you're definitely onto something. And so it's important that we're an example to the girls, right? So that we are an example of what strong, smart, and bold could be, what it exemplifies. We're an example of resilience and grit. And I wouldn't say that it's just me. It's probably the entire organization. I would say it's our board members, and it's definitely our staff, especially the staff that spends the most time engaged with the girls. We, you know, we're all about equity. We're about overcoming, right? We're about creating opportunity and breaking barriers and opening doors. And I think we have to be authentic and walk in the walk and talk in the talk, because, you know, the girls are very impressionable.
And they are impressionable, and they want to know what the leader is like and what she's feeling. If they look in your office and they see you upset with something, then they start thinking. We don't want them thinking. We want them knowing that where they are is the best place for them. How have you grown? Well, actually, let's go back a little bit to more of a history of what Girls Inc. is. It's a national organization.
Yes, it definitely is. So it was. It's one of the oldest organizations, and I love when I say that because people's expression is like, what? When I tell them that it was started in 1864. That's progressive before progressive was actually a thing. And when you think about it, historically, that's like the year the Civil War ended.
Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. So started in Connecticut and spread out across the country. We now have about 80 affiliates across the country, all independently owned and operated. It's an amazingly tight network. We are an affiliate model where each of the Girls Inc.'s are independently owned and operated. But we're a very tight network that's advocating on the national level for girls' rights, for equity, and to be able to close gender gaps in different areas, make sure that we are providing girls with what they need relevantly to grow up strong, smart, and bold, and that we're giving them tools and skills and access and opportunity to really reach their full potential in a way that also advocates for their rights and for their equity.
Well, do they know about you from schools? How do they find out about Girls Inc.?
So the schools have found out about us in different ways. Some of the schools, there have been either parents or teachers that were saying that, you know, this school needs this program. Can you come and talk to the schools? But we found that it was more effective, more efficient, and just more strategic to actually work with the schools at the superintendent level. Because then when they see the value, when they see the change, the impact, the transformation, the support that Girls Inc. is able to provide for the districts, it often, you know, leads them to saying, we need this in more of our schools. So we have districts where we started out in one school, and now we're in three schools, four schools, seven schools. And that's because we have buy-in from the leadership of the district.
Now, are you different in the way you're approaching this to the schools? I mean, as you told me the last time we were together, you said that you're reaching more people and you're getting more people now.
Yes.
And how are you doing that?
So in a number of ways. When it comes to the girls that we serve, we're reaching more girls by getting involved with more school districts. So we serve all girls, but we also are really strategic in targeting girls in communities that are low or moderate and low income communities, because we realize that there's a bigger gap for opportunity and equity in things that happen in those communities. And we want to be instrumental in helping to close that gap. So we target our school districts. We specifically look for those while we serve all districts. But other ways that we've been able to expand programming, in addition to adding more schools or partnering with more schools, is providing, you know, more community-based programs. So we have an amazing leadership program that actually meets at Suffolk County Community College. Those girls meet on Saturday mornings. They are phenomenal. We have more summer program partnerships, like the one we have with Brookhaven National Laboratories. We have a golf program this summer. That's all nice. About equity. We've had programs that we've partnered with horse farms. We've done coding and just a number of things, leadership camps, so many different things, responding to the needs of the girls or responding to society and saying, here's what girls need. Girls, is this what you're looking for? And being able to provide more programs and also with workshops. So those are the ways that we're able to expand the opportunities to serve the girls. It's by working with more schools, more community-based organizations, providing more programs that community girls can get a part of, whether they're part of a school district or not, and expanding our camp opportunities.
Well, you know, you're talking about now we're going into summer, right? Yes. We talked schools ending. Now you're going into summer. You have summer camps that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. What about all these kids that stay home with nothing to do for the whole summer? That's scary.
That is scary, especially in this day and age, in this environment, because the last thing we want our kids to do is sit at home on social media for hours and hours and hours at a time.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Social media and also playing computer games.
Yes.
I mean, I know some kids that are doing that, and that's all they have. No. Their mothers and fathers are both working, so they're not home supervising. So I don't know what the age is when they start doing it themselves with no supervision, but I could see it very young.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing about it is we want to help them be productive. We want to help them not only have a safe place to go and congregate, a great space that will allow them to kind of be themselves authentically, but a place that they can not only have fun and have a safe mentoring environment, but they actually learn some really good skills. Learn some hard skills, some soft skills, communication skills. Our programs at Brookhaven National Laboratory is amazing. Those girls have done things like create hot water heaters, solar powered hot water heaters, have built homes, like model homes, and then have done circuitry to like light up the homes with incandescent lighting and LED lighting, learning all about electrical engineering. They've done microbiology, astrophysics, coding, robotics, like really hardcore science areas that you don't necessarily get. Like, we take earth science, we don't necessarily study DNA research and viruses and stuff like that and epidemiology in school. So it just exposes them. And it's part of our advocacy initiatives to expose girls to more opportunities in STEM. And that's one of the ways that we do it. And it's so engaging and it's so much fun. The girls meet girls from all across Long Island, form amazing bonds. And that's just one area. It's not just STEM. We have STEM, we have leadership. Last year we had a camp at a horse farm in Westbury. They learned all about equine services, taking care of horses, jobs and opportunities, leadership, nonverbal communication. It's just amazing.
Well, these courses are how long? I mean, how many days?
So the summer programs are week-long programs.
Okay.
And so a lot of times our girls will be signed up for several of them. So they'll be, you know, with us for like 4 weeks at a time, but each week it's something different.
Is there a cost?
There is a cost. So it's $100 for each week of camp.
And nothing.
I know. Compared for what they're getting, it's like absolutely nothing. And because we do serve a lot of girls that are coming from communities that are more distressed or under-resourced, if we have a girl that's in need of assistance, we actually scholarship that down to an even lower price for them to participate in a whole week of programming, like at Brookhaven National Laboratory with scientists for like less than $100.
So the fundraising you do during the year is what's paying for all this, right?
The fundraising that we do, individual donors, the corporate engagement. We have corporate partners that actually help to provide funding for this. Our events, helping with the operations. But yes, that's all the efforts that we do to bring money into the organization is what helps us provide these programs to girls.
Your capital campaign, we talked about that the last time. Mm-hmm. And I guess this is for you to get a new building, right?
Yes. So we're really excited about this capital campaign. We're coming out of the pandemic, so things have been moving a little slow. We're ready to step on the accelerator, and we've been moving a little bit faster. And so the purpose of the capital campaign is that Girls Inc. will have its own center. Many of the Girls Incs across the country have a center. Girls Inc. of Long Island does not. And if we have a center, or when we get our center, I won't say if, when we get our center, we will be able to serve more girls because we will also be able to expand our programming opportunities. So we'll have center-based programs, and then we'll have our school-based and community-based programs.
So you don't have center-based now because there's no
we
place
don't.
To put them.
Yeah, and we get calls from parents and teachers all the time. They say, you know, I have a girl or a daughter or a niece or a young woman in my life who's struggling with, you know, all kinds of things like identity or you know, being able to just adjust to anxiety. We have a lot of girls that's dealing with mental health, girls that need more socialization. And that's in addition to all the stuff that girls go through, dealing with social media and cyberbullying and all that, plus the skills part. And if they're not part of like one of our school programs where they can meet on a weekly basis, they have to wait to either the summer programs or the conferences. And I know that once we are able to have a center, those girls who are struggling on Long Island can have a place to come home to, and we can provide them with programming, a great environment to help them thrive.
Well, how much more money do you need? I mean, I'm ready to write a check.
If you could write a check right now of $1.5 million, we're done.
We're done. Okay, thank you. No.
So, yeah, we're looking to close the gap. We'll need about $1.5 million, and then we'll be able to, we actually have some spaces identified that we would really like to be in. Everything else is kind of ready to move forward, and the only thing we're waiting for, of course, is to fill that that financial gap.
Well, I can't wait. And I think that donations are getting better now. I think they're picking up a little bit. Maybe the economy isn't, because I still see some stores struggling, local stores, you know. But I think overall, when we're doing these events and we're asking for money for the events that we do, they're coming through.
It's slowly getting better. Last year was very fickle. And I think because people were like, okay, are we out of a pandemic? Are we not? Are we going into a recession? Are we not? And, you know, let's hold on to our purse strings because we just don't know what's going to happen. And slowly but surely, we have been seeing a little less of that and seeing a little more support, you know, just across nonprofits, period. I did a presentation. I was on a panel a couple of weeks ago at HIA.
Oh, okay.
LI, and it
was last week, wasn't it? No, this week.
Time flies, but it was like several weeks ago. But it was, you know, all about Yeah, they had the trade show yesterday.
Right.
So it was all about the economic landscape. And, you know, and that's basically the consensus. We're slowly lifting out of this really, like, interesting financial period as nonprofits and starting to see more and more support. And so that's what we've been raising funds through. We were able to come up with so far a couple $100,000 even in that environment.
Wow.
So,
good for you. How is your board?
We have an amazing board, and we actually onboarded a few more board members. We're really being strategic about bringing folks to the board because we want to be able to have very good thought leadership that is not only going to be able to provide really good leadership support now, but the type of leadership support that will take us into the next phases of Girls Inc.
That's amazing. So all these programs you're talking about, you know, designed mostly for Long Island, I mean, that wouldn't be the same in other parts of the country with Girls Inc. Are they struggling all through the country like we are?
So we see a lot of the same struggles in other Girls Incs. And like I said, we're a pretty tight-knit community. I actually sit on the National Board of Directors representing the Region 3 cohort of Girls Incs. So, you know, my region includes like, you know, Washington, D.C., Delaware, New Hampshire, Massachusetts. So it's about 17 or so. And we are seeing some of the same issues with regards to the issues impacting girls. We're seeing a rise in mental health issues and educational, you know, some educational inequities with regards to girls and sometimes with girls of color. We are seeing some similarities with regards to the contributions to the nonprofit organizations. They have also been struggling a little bit when it comes to the support coming from like corporations and stuff. We're seeing, like, again, I said before, a little bit of the loosening of the purse strings and things like that. But when it comes to the issues that we and the advocacy that we are engaged in, it really is across the board. Girls are struggling in a lot of ways with regards to, you know, some of the same issues, you know, mental health, cyberbullying, and the effects of cyberbullying is often fatal. You know,
I know,
you know, educational inequities, making sure that we open doors and break barriers so that, you know, girls can get equipped now for their futures and things like STEM. We have a huge focus on STEM nationally because we want to be able to impact the STEM field. Right. So there's a lot of opportunity for women in STEM. There's a huge gap, gender gap. So if we can expose girls to STEM opportunities early, then they can potentially choose those as career paths. And then we can be impactful in closing the gender gap.
Well, you talk about DEI. Can you explain what that is?
Sure. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think that when people think about Girls Inc., especially people who are very familiar with Girls Inc., and they get wind of all these really great, fun, amazing programs that we do, they don't think about the other side of who we are. And our vision for Girls Inc., both locally and nationally, is to create an equitable society for all girls. we want girls to be able to step in and be able to sit at the table and have the same access and opportunities for the same skills. We want to make sure that our programming, although it's very critical and relevant, that it is doing the work of creating change and impact and preparing the girls with the tools that they need to be able to, you know, be resilient and have grit, to be able to engage in different fields, to understand the different opportunities out there for them. It's the reason why we do programming in like financial literacy, right? So if we can equip girls with strong financial literacy now, then we can impact things later on, like the gender wage gap or having women be high income earners during their careers, but living their elderly years near poverty. Like, we can change all of that if we give them the right foundation.
Renee, how can anybody get in touch with you right now?
Call me.
Call you where? What's your website and your phone number?
So one of the easiest ways, all of our information is listed on the website, which is girlsincli.org.
And they have to say L-I, otherwise it'd be national.
Yep.
A phone number?
631-940-3749.
I don't know where our time goes, Renee, but every time you're on, it's so fast.
I know. That was like 5 minutes.
This is Ron Gold from Marketing Works. The name of the show is A Nonprofit Voice. Thank you.